brother. What's up?
This is a groovy party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop. Right on.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today.
Time now for the Empowerment Hour here on Praise 107.9, presented by the Jacksonville Urban League and First Thursday Jacksonville. And now, here's your host, Dr. Richard Danforth of the Jacksonville Urban League and Larry Williams of First Thursday Jacksonville.
Okay, good morning and happy Saturday, everybody. Welcome to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams, along with my co-host, Dr. Richard Danforth, the president of Jacksonville Urban League, and Jarman Leitner, president of Harvest Intervention Mental Health Services in Jacksonville. And today we're going to be talking about the COVID-19 coronavirus and its impact on the African-American populations across the country. So we have joining us today the publisher of the Chicago Crusader and the Gary Crusader, Dorothy LaVelle, who's just the past chairman of the NNPA. And we have the distinguished Molly Belt, the publisher of the Dallas Examiner and recipient of the Lifetime Achievement Award this past January. So we want to welcome them to the show. We want to talk. We're going to try and cover a lot of things in this particular segment, and we want to talk about how the virus is affecting African American populations again across the country. We're going to start since we're coming out of Jacksonville. First of all, welcome Dr. Danforth and Jarman Leitner. What's going on in Jacksonville?
Yes, hello. How is everybody?
Hi.
Hi. Jacksonville, well, Larry, we'll start with just the update on the coronavirus cases. The confirmed positive cases are right now in Florida at about 28,000. So we're at about 28,000 confirmed positive cases for COVID-19. And we remember back in March, it was actually March the 1st, where we saw our first positive case. So now here we are, April 24th.
How many deaths are there?
In Florida, there are about 850 deaths.
Okay. I think we're up around 1,000.
So 1,000 to, as of today, 1,000?
Yes, according to the paper. So,
okay.
Those numbers continue to change. So it's ever changing, and those updates come pretty frequently. So that's good that you see the most recent one is even more than the one that I just saw.
Okay, so Molly Belt, the distinguished publisher out of Dallas, Texas. Molly, what's going on in Dallas, and how are you guys? When did you guys start dealing with the virus, at least the known cases?
We had our first case March the 10th in Dallas. And the current figures are the total in Dallas County, we have 2,763 cases, and we have 72 deaths. Unfortunately, I don't have the data by race.
Okay.
But I will say this, that, you know, there's been a lot of emphasis on the testing locations. And the first testing locations were put, the first one downtown, and then one was put in the southern sector of Dallas County, and a lot of African Americans live in that section. And when they added another one, it was also put in a zip code area with a lot of African Americans. So I'm assuming that a lot of African Americans are affected by it. But I'll get into it later, how Blacks are being affected by COVID-19.
Okay.
Unless you want me to go into it now.
No, we can get back to it. I just, Dorothy, tell us about what's going on in Chicago.
Well, in Chicago, we the first death that we knew about was in March 24th, and a lot later than in March 10th, Molly talked about. But it was a Black woman. And then 2 days later, her sister died.
Wow.
And, yes. And then there was a man that died on the 24th as well. All of these people were in their 60s. And one of our newspaper, even though ProPublica and some of the others are getting credit for talking about the disparities, the Crusader, in their April 4th issue, which would have been actually April the 2nd when we were on the streets for sale, came out about the big disparities. We had about 70% at that time of the deaths and people, Blacks, who had been affected, while we were only about 30% of the population. So right now, and of course, it's like everywhere else, it keeps changing. We have a total of about 38,934 people who have been positively confirmed in having it. We have 1,688 deaths. And one of the main issues has been about the testing. Testing is way down. We have 173,316. And, of course, there are rules that go with this testing. If you don't have any symptoms or anything, they won't even test you. Of course, the first-line defense of our policemen and nurses and all of that, they get it right away. But there are many people in our community. Even I have not been tested. I don't mind telling you that in our community, we had to fight this myth that Blacks wasn't going to get it. That was the first myth that came out. And many Blacks believe that.
Yes.
And then when they found out, many people had died. One was a very popular radio host here in the city of Chicago who bought into the hoax, and they had his funeral this past week. Mm-hmm. So it has been a very eye-opener that our Blacks are really been affected. And, of course, I know there are other questions that you have. I'm more than pleased to tell you about things that they are doing in the city and the positives coming out of it. I'd be happy to join in.
Okay. So, you know, I'm looking at the an article in the USA Today saying that the U.S. just passed 50,000 coronavirus deaths on Friday and is closing in on nearly 1 million infections. And as several states began implementing plans for reopening businesses and even social distances. But before I go to that, Dr. Danford, you've been tested, haven't you?
Yes, Larry. First of all, let me say good morning to our hosts and our special guests here in Jacksonville, Florida. We've gotten a little rain and it's cool, but it's nice. Yes, I want to say to our listeners that earlier this morning, I drove over to Cooker Park here in Jacksonville and stood in line to receive the COVID-19 test. The entire process took about 20 minutes, but the test is very simple in that there's a swab that they place in each of your nostrils for about 15 seconds. They take that, and then, of course, they send it to the lab. So I was given quite a bit of information once I left, indicating that the lab results would be available within 2 to 5 days. So
okay.
two things on that. First of all, Because of my travels and working in various communities, I thought it would behoove me to be tested, particularly with my age and, mm-hmm. and the fact that I had recently gotten back from Vietnam. So,
hey, can you hold on to that so we can take a break for music and we'll come back and, you know, start back at with you on that after the break. This is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour. We're going to take a music break and we'll be right back.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
Give me a mountain and I promise to move it. Show me a valley, I'll walk right through it. I ain't worried.
No matter what is thrown at me.
Give me a hurdle, I'll jump right over. Like a game of limbo, I get down low. Cause I ain't worried, yeah.
No matter what is thrown at me.
If I'm in trouble, you get me in order. Push me out the boat and I'll walk on water. I ain't worried. No, 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 no. Cause worry.
Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. This is Larry Williams with the Empowerment Hour, and my special guest and host, and they're not guest hosts, they're hosts, the Richard Danford from the Jacksonville Urban League and Jarman Leitner from Harvest Interventions. And joining us from Dallas, Texas is Molly Belt, and from Chicago we have Dorothy LaBelle. So, Dr. Danford, you were talking about your experience with the having the test done, and if you can just give us finish up on that, and then we have some other points we want to try to get to during this broadcast. Okay, so how was the test? You said it was pretty smooth. It was like, how long did it take in total? What, 15 minutes or so?
Sure, it's enough about a city to include testing sites in minority communities where traditionally you would not have that type of service. And I wanted to see for myself, because there's so much misinformation out here now. And I really, from this, I want to encourage African-Americans in particular to please, if you have some symptoms, if you think you have some symptoms, to do everything possible to have a test done. Yours to your loved ones and the people around you, not to continue to possibly carry that virus unknowingly. So please, mm-hmm. I encourage us in those communities. We talk about the disparities that exist, but we've got to get up and go take the test. And I want to continue to encourage people to do that.
Now, Dr. Danford, did they tell you how long before you receive the results?
Right. After having the two swabs placed in my nostril and finished, they indicated that within 2 to 5 days, I will hear from them. And they will let me know that whether I'm negative or positive. I'm thinking that I'm negative, but, there will be some security in knowing, knowing whether I'm negative or positive.
Right. So Dr. Danford and the rest on the deal, are you all practicing social distancing? And also, quarantining yourselves from, folks that aren't living in your households, aside from testing, what else are we doing to, make sure that we're staying safe and so that we can share that with our listeners? Because, a lot of folks are not practicing social distancing, and some of the governors out of their, I don't know, where they pull these things from, but started opening up the beaches in Florida and putting people, allowing nail shops to open in Georgia and these types of things. What are you doing, and what do you recommend for the listeners to try and stay safe, even though, we have, the larger percentage of African-Americans testing, at least the ones that we have been able to get racial data from, more African-Americans are being adversely affected by this virus?
Well, listen, when I finished the test, they gave me information to take with me. And in this information from the Florida Health Department, it talks about how to protect yourself when someone at home has the virus. So I think it's some very good information. Whether you take the test or not, you should receive the information, because it's very clear, it's easy to read. It tells you, if you tested positive, now what? It also mm-hmm. talks about how you clean and disinfect your home. We talked about that, Larry and Jaman, last week. This is a good time for spring cleaning, but you've got to clean those areas that you touch. And so they list information in here as to the best way to do that, in addition to making coverings for your face. So I thought it was very good information. And again, our listeners, please take this thing serious, because people are dying, and I understand that we have people going to church here in Jacksonville. I love the Lord, but please, let's stream or do other things. Let's not do that. Let's not subject ourselves to the possibility of dying when you really don't have to. Jesus don't want us to die to go by going to church, okay?
Okay. Dorothy?
Yes. Well, he mentioned most of the same things that we are doing. And the social distancing is prevalent, even in my office. Masks, wearing masks, and constant hand washing and disinfecting areas in which you are working or in your homes. That is really the most important kinds of things you need to do to protect yourself and your family members and your employees. As I mentioned earlier, my office is one of the essential businesses that we have not been required to shut down. Mm-hmm. And so my staff comes to work every day. They wear their masks. They clean the areas where they are. We have disinfectant and hand wipes and all kinds of things for them to use. And we are just constantly doing those kinds of things. But there are a lot of people not doing that, and there are reasons why. When it was discovered that most of this, the virus was so prevalent in our communities, black communities I'm speaking of, they realized there were a lot of reasons for it. It's almost impossible to do social distancing in some of these apartments that are small. Mm-hmm. And more than one family sometimes living there. So it isn't just your immediately blood relatives that's there, but social distancing can be a problem. But then there are those who are still, going along with the mist. They're not wearing, they're standing out on the sidewalks. If the weather gets warm, they're outside, and they're out there without any protection. It's a serious problem. So we are working real hard at the Crusader to try to reinforce the idea that they need to practice social distancing. They need to wear their masks. They need to stay inside as much as they can. And so it's a hard problem, but it has made people aware of it. I was pleasantly surprised that they've realized that it was a problem in our community, and they are now opening up more testing sites. But the lines are extremely long, and they still are not testing anyone unless they have some kind of symptoms.
All right. Okay, so Molly, what about in Dallas?
Well, our county judge issued an order for us to stay at home in March, the latter part of March. So we've been at home a long time. Of course, essential businesses like a newspaper, we've been able to operate. But black churches have really been adversely affected because you have some of the smaller churches and they've been meeting anyway. But the larger churches have not been meeting. They have been streaming. And so in terms of that's adversely. And then, of course, your nonprofits and all. And the funding from the federal government has not reached the black community yet. So we have a lot of small businesses that are just on the verge of, they can't open right now. But, well, now they can. But they don't have the funds to operate. Our Governor Abbott, issued an order, and it started today, the retail to go order. You all may have heard of that. So all retail stores in Texas are able to open. And what you do is you call the retail store, you place your order, you pay for it with a credit card, and then they tell you when to drive up and pick your order up.
So, okay. Molly, we're going to have to take a break, and we'll come back to you after this. But I want you to remember that, because in addition to that, I want to ask everybody about their particular business and how it's doing and dealing with the virus. I think everyone is a small business owner or nonprofit operator. So this is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour. We'll be back after this message.
Want to be happy? Then you found a spot.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
Your worship all over this room.
The God of miracles, signs and wonders, we believe in your power. We believe in your power. You're the God
of miracles,
signs.
Signs and wonders,
we believe
in your power.
Lord, we believe.
still gets the glory. Now this is the part where you just lift up the praise. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Lift up the praise in this house. Yeah.
Never ending, it never runs out on me. Always mending the broken things inside of me. It has covered the secrets that bring me to my knees, yeah. Oh, so faithful.
About the COVID-19 and the coronavirus and its effect on the African American community, communities nationwide. And we have a special guest, Molly Belt from Dallas Examiner in Dallas, Texas, and Dorothy LaVelle from the Chicago and Gary Crusader newspapers. And they're both publishers, small business owners. And Molly was making a point, and I think we want to go back to her, and then we want to follow that up with Molly, how it's affecting your business, your staff, how you're planning on. As I understand it, the newspapers are part of the media, so therefore they were included in the essential businesses that remained open. So tell us a little bit about your experience going through the virus with your business.
As I said, the first case in Texas was right around the middle of 10th. It was the 10th of March. And that was right around spring break time. And I had my kids out of town and I was worried about them. But anyway, in terms of the paper, we have not missed an issue of printing the Dallas Examiner. We have printed the Dallas Examiner every Thursday, in spite of the fact that we lost 95% of our advertising, probably a little more than that.
Oh, wow.
You know how they always say that, when white people get a cold, black people get the flu.
Yes.
So we immediately, we started getting cancellation orders. One of our weekly advertisers, a big department store, Macy's, he shut down all of his stores. Well, when everything was closed, basically the advertising stopped. And so we had to also do our whole distribution differently because we have a combination of paid and free newspapers. And our free newspapers go to over 60 African-American churches and 30 high schools in the area. Of course, they closed. So when they closed, we didn't have anywhere. We couldn't take the papers there. So we had to get new locations. We had to add papers to existing locations because we sell the papers in Walmart, 7-Eleven, racetrack, places like that. So it has been a big adjustment. Additionally, we still have, we have the print paper and we print the paper every week. I've been fortunate enough not to have to lay off any of my employees, but I have increased my online presence at www.dallasexaminer.com. If you go to that website, we have frequent daily updates on the virus and on things that are happening, trying to get people to get accustomed to going to that site. Because the advertisers who are beginning to come back, because, we're in a political season and we have been talking about voting and all that. So the politicians, people that are coming back with advertising, they're looking at digital on-site website type advertising. So we kind of had to restructure. And then the federal government, they have the small business loans. And as everybody knows, everybody was kind of qualified first, but us, you have very few Black-owned businesses that have received money already. Maybe we'll receive some in this next round. It's very interesting. Our county judge, when he first ordered shelter in place in March, he said one of the essential businesses, believe it or not, was the liquor stores.
Wow.
Not have to close. And so a lot of African-Americans were upset about that because Blacks don't own liquor stores here in Dallas. And they said the reason that they voted on that, and it was a joint thing between the medical director and all that, because they said we have alcoholics, we have people who have to have their liquor. And they said that if they closed the liquor stores and they could not get their liquor, then the county did not have the resources to try to deal with that problem because they were trying to deal with the
virus. Wow.
So, you had liquor stores open as essential business, and you had, other African-American-owned businesses who, they needed to be open too. So African-Americans have this is devastating for African-Americans. We're going to lose a lot of businesses. And even when they start coming back, some businesses are not going to come back the same way.
Absolutely.
So, well, we have basically the same thing around here, except for the fact that the liquor stores are staying open quite late here. And the mayor sent out an order that they have to close at 9:00. And besides that, people were congregating around the liquor stores, so they found that necessary. But our governor, unlike Texas, they have not reopened the majority of the businesses around here. Of course, our businesses already were adversely affected in Chicago and Gary. But the governor in Illinois extended our stay-home law until May 30th. So we're going to be still at home until May 30th. And I think thing. I think it's a good thing because they don't feel that it has really peaked here in Chicago yet. And so that there could be a lot more deaths. We have had quite a few deaths. we've had some ray of hope in some things that they are doing in some of the hospitals. But every day it changes, so we don't know what we should do. But in the Black community, we have really high incidence of cases. There in the zip code where the Crusader is located, we have 272 cases with only 1,225 tests administered.
Wow.
So, and you can just go up through the city, especially on the south and west sides of the city, and know that we are adversely affected. But here's some good news. The mayor of our city has decided that and has just announced yesterday that she has a recovery task force that is supposed to help in the businesses and the citizens of the city in trying to restructure and to regain some sense of normalcy whenever the ban for after May 30th occurs. So they have been very busy. Our governor has done a great job. The mayor has done a great job here as well. And we are optimistic that once things are cleared up, a lot of social ills that caused us to be so vulnerable will be addressed. Mental health, health, period, having people having accessibility to good health and have programs so that they can afford their medicine. Many people have ailments, but they can't afford to pay for the medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I was very pleased to see that Eli Lilly this week has reduced its insulin to $35. Well,
yes,
I don't mind telling you that my doctor, Larry, I got to find out if I can switch my insulin, because mine, I just put in a prescription, it's $300 and some.
Wow.
So, yeah. So it's, I think after it's over, many of the ills that we are suffering from will be addressed, education wise, everything, every area you can talk about. We are on the lower echelon of getting services from our city and from our state, and they're not going to be able to do that anymore. I think that we are going to be much more vigilant. We're going to make our elected officials make sure they are more on the job in getting programs and taking care of some of these things that have just been going on for decades.
Okay.
So,
we're going to have to take a break here. We'll come back and we want to hear from Richard and John about their particular businesses. And this is Praise 107.9 FM, the Empowerment Hour. We'll be back.
The way to listen to Praise 107.9 on your smart speaker has changed. Simply ask it to play Praise 107.9.
Started playing Praise 107.9.
It's gonna be you.
So, no need to touch anything and have to disinfect. Just ask your speaker and enjoy.
God wants to hear. Pain away.
God wants to heal you.
Yes, he does.
Everywhere you hurt.
God
will see you through.
Yes, he will.
Listen.
God shall provide for you each and every. So lift your hands and say, Lord, I need you. I need you right now.
each and every day.
Lift your hands and
say, now come on, just lift your hands and begin to thank him for the healing right now.
Yeah.
Come on, let me hear you worship him all over the house tonight. God is in the room to heal you tonight. His presence is here.
This is Larry Williams with the Empowerment Hour, and we're back with our final segment today. That we hope that the listeners are enjoying this conversation, this roundtable dialogue with from Chicago, from Dallas, from Jacksonville, from Seattle, and talking about the disparities with the COVID-19. Coronavirus in the African American communities. And you know, as we talk about this, you know, one of the deals, as I mentioned, we're all small business owners, and fortunately, in our business, I'm in the advertising, marketing, public relations. Our clients now are our business is picked up some because we are dealing with the pharmaceutical companies and people wanting to get the positive messages out, whether it's a lottery or a Amazon type of business that's still looking for employees and things. And you guys mentioned, Molly mentioned her advertising revenue was down 95%. I'd like to hear about Dorothy's advertising revenue and has your subscriber
mine is down about 15%.
Okay, well, that's good.
Larry,
that's
about 15% at the Crusader, and we've had some people who have just hung in there with us. We found a new market in the hospitals and all that is now, and some banks. We've lost. But usually our advertising doesn't really pick up until around April anyway. So we are hopeful that certainly it may be a month late, but by May we are hopeful that things will pick up for us. We are looking forward to that. We
Donna, how's the business in the mental health industry?
Listen, 52 suicides have been reported since March, and
yes,
13 of them blacks. The suicides are up.
Wow.
As far as the crime is down. It's showing more than 1,000 less. About 23% of the crime is down. Of course, we could stand a lot
thousand
more than
less?
That.
You say 1,000 less?
1,000, yes, more than 1,000 less reported.
Okay, we're talking about...
Up to now, huh?
Are we talking homicides?
No, that's everything. That's murder. That's robbery, that's battery, that's theft, you know, that's everything.
Yeah, all the criminal activity then.
Murder looks to be a little bit up. I don't know why.
Well, it's probably because they need some mental health services, you know.
Yes, they do.
Anxiety while they're in the households, and
yes,
you know, well, all that contention and all the anger that we see.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, it's our contention that even in good times, it's because of these social ills and mental illness that has caused a lot of the violence and crimes that occur in our city.
Right.
A lot of it is attributed to that. That's a bright side, if there's a bright side to this virus. A bright side is that it has put a spotlight on some areas that have been denied. And
yes.
So now there's no more denying it. They're going to have to do something about it. And I'm looking forward to us having some normalcy that we can start working on some of these major problems.
Yeah.
A very famous hospital in Chicago, they closed up the emergency room in the middle of this virus, Provident Hospital. That's where Dr. Drew founded blood plasma. They closed it up. But it's back open, just open up on Monday. But it's in the heart of our community where we have all these health disparities.
Right.
So, I mean, they're going to have to do something about it, guys.
Dorothy, we want to get Jarman in, because Jarman owns a mental health company in Jacksonville, Harvest Intervention. And Jarman, give us some what you're going through and what your business is experiencing since this pandemic hit.
Well, yes, we are a behavioral health care provider, providing, like Larry said, the counseling service. We provide the counseling services and the psychological testing services. And we have also provided telehealth services prior to COVID-19. But we've seen about a 50% decrease in our sales and our revenue, you know, in our client base. Just because of the shutdown and the stay-at-home orders. And even though we can provide the telehealth, you know, a lot of the communities just not very familiar with it, nor do they have the skill set to necessarily operate the technology. So we're kind of in the stages of being more innovative, where we have to train our parents and help them along the way to get on board with telehealth. So this is something that we have seen a shift in. We've had to close down our physical office location and not utilize that. So some services we're not even allowed to provide via telehealth. They have to be provided face-to-face just because of the things that have to take place, the tasks that have to be presented. So this has definitely affected us as a small business. Like I said, we've lost revenue, but we're still, you know, moving forward. We're still grinding every day. We have not received any kind of funding, though we have applied for some of the small business assistance. So we're also increasing our online presence as well. We've updated our Facebook page, and that's just one of the ways we're trying to get the word out even more that we're here to provide these services via telehealth. You do not have to come into the office, and mental health is so important in a crisis or outside of a national crisis. We have to maintain our healthy mind and healthy emotions.
Okay.
May I ask a question?
On the nonprofit side, well, how what's happening with that? Are you all considered essential business, and are you open for business?
You're talking to me, right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes. Well, of course, it depends on who you ask. Okay, I would think that many people in the community look to us as not being an essential business. I tend to think that we are, because we're working from home, does not mean that we cannot have an impact on the people we serve. Now, with that said, we're looking at more creative ways to connect the various services to the people that really need it. But I want to go back, take this quick time to encourage people in our community to please try to stay safe and take the test to see if you are susceptible or to see if you have of this particular virus, because people are dying. You know, we're becoming immune to some of this negative stuff, but people are dying every minute in this country, and it could happen to each of us. So please, try to find a test somewhere and take advantage of the services that are being offered rather than complaining.
So, may I ask a question, Larry? Heard her talk about telehealth, and I don't know, are the insurance companies accepting telehealth cases to pay for those people who would need to avail themselves of that service since the offices are closed, the physical offices are most of my
Lana? Some of the insurances already cover certain services for telehealth, but due to COVID-19, they have broadened what services are allowed telehealth. So the answer to the question is yes, they will cover that.